Thank you, Ray. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord. When we're reading that Job passage, it really touched me. Well, I'll say it. God really touched me. Just the unfathomable wisdom of God. Because often when you come to give a message, you try and cram all this information in, you do your best, and you realise actually it's very challenging to describe the undescribable. And it's not supposed to put me in a place of panic, it's supposed to put us in a place of humility before the grandeur of God. And when we get ourselves into a place of humility, that's when Jesus can really work with us. It's amazing how it works. It's upside down from what we think it should be. What I'm going to speak on this morning is Acts 3, verses 1 to 10. Continuing our series in Acts. Acts 3, 1 to 10. Can I have another volunteer to read that, please? Anyone would like to read?
For the sake of the recording, I haven't run off. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful. But it was not where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. And then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have. But what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him.
Thanks, George. I want to ask a question to everyone this morning, and I'm asking it to myself as well. And that's this question. Who or what are you looking at? In your life, who or what are you looking at? Because when the Bible talks of looking, it means who or what has your undivided attention. Who has your undivided attention? Hebrews 12:1-2 says, "Let us run with endurance the race set before us, looking unto Jesus. He is the author and finisher of our faith." So to endure with Jesus, we need to look at Jesus. We need to look at him. We need to be fascinated by Jesus. We need to give Jesus our undivided attention. It's Jesus who will help us endure. Jesus gives us the power to endure. Because I believe the key to understanding this passage is when Peter says three words. Look at us. Peter says, look at us. Now I'm going to explain. So you've got Peter and John, they go up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, which is about 3 p.m. They're not going to the football, they're going to prayer. Not that any fit was on at 3 p.m. anymore. A certain man lame from his mother's womb is carried. So here they're walking towards the temple to pray. There's a man who can't walk, and he's been like that since the beginning of his life, as he knows it. And they lay him daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms, which is money and food, from those who entered the temple. So he got a guy at the gate of the temple. He sees Peter and John about to go into the temple, and he asks them for money and food. Fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter says, "Look at us. Look at us. Silver and gold I don't have. I don't have what you think you need. I have what I know you need. And what I know you need is Jesus." See, Peter has been looking at Jesus. And he says, "Look at us. Who do you see when you look at us? Who do people see when they look at you?" "I don't have what you think you need," says Peter. "I have what I know you need. What I have is Jesus, and I give him to you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk." See, Peter has been looking at Jesus, and the lame man receives life itself from Jesus. Because Jesus is life. We don't look at Jesus to get life. We look at Jesus because he is life. You don't go to Jesus to get direction about what you're going to do next. You go to Jesus because he is your direction. Then he shows you through looking at him. Everything comes through Jesus. Everything comes through Jesus. And he says, "I give you, Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth." In biblical terms, you can't separate the meaning of a name from a person. The name of Jesus Christ is anointed Saviour. "I give you the anointed Saviour." Peter's clear in the next few verses, past the passage we've read, that it's not Peter doing the healing. It's Jesus working through him. Peter releases the anointed Saviour through himself. By Jesus' mercy, when we look at Jesus, it positions us to have him live his anointing, saving life through us. I'll say that again. By his mercy, looking at Jesus positions us to have him live his anointed, saving life through us. Acts 2:43, a few verses back. "Fear comes upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles." Not by the apostles, through. And so Peter and John are obsessed with Jesus. And so when people look in their eyes, they see Jesus. And people come to him and say, "I need money, I need food." And he says, "I don't have that right now. That's not what you need right now. What you need is Jesus. And when you look at me, you will see Jesus." Why? Because I've been looking at him. It's not a secondary pursuit to look at Jesus. All manner of life flows from that. Feeding the poor, giving the money, preaching the gospel, working in your workplace, raising a family. All the things that we do, all of it has to come through Jesus. Because everything's in Jesus. So how on earth do we look at Jesus? How have Peter and John been looking at Jesus? A few verses back, they've been basking in the Word and the Spirit. That for me is the primary way you look at Jesus. It's not some ethereal, weird thing that's beyond your reach. It's accessible. He is accessible. I'm just so excited about Jesus because he is accessible. And if I can access Jesus, so can you. See, we cannot comprehend Jesus. We cannot comprehend creation. But we sure, in Jesus' name, can apprehend him. We can have him. You can have him. And every drop that you get from Jesus will open another set of doors that you never even knew were there. You can apprehend him. I'm telling you, you can apprehend him. He wants you to apprehend him. They've been basking in the Word and the Spirit a few verses back. They've been the whole fellowship, the whole community has been continuing steadfastly in the apostles' teaching. And so the apostle Peter and John have been teaching. They've been basked in what we would call the Old Testament. Because they didn't have the New Testament at that time. They were basking in the Torah, the Word of God. Yahweh's Word to Israel and then Yahweh's Word to the world. That's what they've been basking in. So that's how you look at Jesus. And I believe we're all priests. The Bible tells us we're priests. We're all allowed to look at the Word in the power of the Holy Spirit. Because I know there's a difference between reading your Bible and reading your Bible in the Spirit. Have you ever noticed the difference when you read the Bible and it's dry as a bone? Now sometimes God takes a step back just to get you to read it and get this stuff in there and get familiar with it. But when you start to read the Word of God with the Spirit of God there, it pops open revelation. And that's looking at Jesus. And I'm so passionate about this because I do this almost every day. When there's something special about me, there's something special about you, but I don't believe it's some special thing that no one else can access. I believe most of the reason why I'm in that place is to show you can be in that place too. And it simply looks, if you've got 10 minutes, in the morning, God will work with that. You just open the Word. You just open the Bible. And at the end of last year, I was quite sick. And when I came out of it, the Lord said to me, I want you to begin reading the Bible from the beginning, but I don't want you to read it out of duty. I want you to read it in my presence. And I'm going to show you things. And it was difficult and it was hard. The discipline was getting in there. When I got in there, things seemed to flow. Because I just opened the Word of God and said, in the beginning was God. And I just sat there and thanked him that he was there. I thank you, you're real, God. I thank you that before anything you were there. And he begins to show you his glory. And the Spirit comes and starts to open things up to you that will be personal to you, that will be part of Christianity, part of following Jesus. Looking at Jesus is available to you through the Word and the Spirit. How else did they do that? They did it by fellowshipping. One amazing way is that we can see Jesus in each other. We can see Jesus in each other. And that's not, you don't look around going, is Jesus in you? You're not behaving well. Is Jesus in you? You're not behaving well. It's actually about you representing Jesus to others in fellowship, in community. So others can see Jesus in you. And then communion, we could say lots about communion. We have, you know, it's an amazing time of communion this morning. Prayers is intercession and just asking the Lord things. But there is some deep communion in prayer, which actually is a lot of listening. And sitting still. And saying, right, Lord, I'm going to commit the next half an hour. And I'm going to say four words. In the beginning, God. And they just listen. And your mind will be distracted. Something will come in your mind. You can either write it down. You can deal with that in a moment. Just just going to listen to the Lord. And he will direct your prayers. That's looking at Jesus. They walked in the fear of God. So much you can say about the fear of God. The point is their lives were centred around truly understanding God's love. Their lives were centred around God. It didn't mean they didn't run around and have fun and work and do things. It meant their whole lives were just centred around his presence. Centred around who he was. And Jack Hayford said this was spontaneous and voluntary kindness as a result of truly understanding God's love. Their whole community was voluntary. Because he says forced community is communism. We are not trying to love one another. We're loving one another because we've been looking at Jesus. And this life, this biblical life that we see right here, which wasn't without its problems, cannot be lived without the power of the Holy Spirit. Because communism is an idea of everybody sharing, forgetting the fact you need Jesus to share, because you need Jesus to tick you off when you're not sharing. Because without Jesus you get powerful, you get prideful, you start bringing things to yourself. But Jesus keeps us learning and keeps us fresh and keeps our hearts soft. You need the Holy Spirit. And it's interesting to me that Peter and John, before they come to the temple, they're primed. They're ready. They don't come to the temple and there's this lame man there. And then they say, oh, hang on a minute, I've had a busy morning. You know, the kids have been annoying me a bit and we're late. And if you can just wait there, I need to go into the temple, pray, stir myself up a bit, get into the presence, and then I'll come back out and pray for you. Is that okay? It's not. They're ready. They're primed. Think about your preparation before you come to church. Think about it. I used to, a few years ago, think, well, I've got church this morning, so I don't need to open my Bible. I don't need to do anything. I'm just going to come in and just scramble to my seat and sit there and then I'll be ready. And that's good. That's not bad. I'm not telling people not to come to church. Please hear me. What I'm telling you is God is ready to open up revelation for you when you're prepared to come. Imagine what it would be like if when you hit that seat and Jonathan and James and Helen and myself, we hit the first course and you're already in the presence. Instead of thinking, oh, I wish I could hear another sermon, I was just getting in there and I was just getting focused. It's important. These guys were primed, they were ready. Because they centered their whole lives around God, around Jesus. And when we center our lives around Jesus, we position ourselves to have the Holy Spirit demonstrate himself through us. This is an example of the gift of healing from the Holy Spirit, or the gift of working of miracles in the Holy Spirit. And I would actually add faith as well. Holy Spirit gift. Now, can we manipulate God to give us those manifestations? No, but we can look at Jesus. We can look at Jesus and we can be ready. We can be primed. And there's no other way to do it except look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. See, Peter has been looking at Jesus. John has been looking at Jesus. And he knows he has Jesus. Because I just love God's grace. The first fruit of looking at Jesus is Jesus reveals to you that you have him. Peter says, silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have, I give to you. Peter knew he had Jesus. When you look at Jesus, Jesus shows you that you have him. And it's not something to, oh, I've got Jesus now, I'm going to get on with it. No, no. Knowing Jesus is everything. Knowing Jesus, looking at Jesus, is the answer to depression. Looking at Jesus is the answer to health. Looking at Jesus is the answer to raising a family. Looking at Jesus is the answer to having a successful and healthy marriage. Looking at Jesus is the answer to being single. Looking at Jesus is the answer to being a baby, to being a middle-aged person, to being a more seasoned person. The answer for your life is to look at Jesus, because in Jesus is all in all. It's not a secondary thing. We don't look at Jesus later after we've done our stuff. We look at Jesus first, then we do our stuff. Because when you look at Jesus, you will realise why he said, come to me first. I mean, many of us, we get distracted, don't we? I mean, how's that working out when you don't look at Jesus first? It's challenging. It's difficult because you're not looking at Jesus. And when you know you have Jesus, you realise you are able to give Jesus to others. Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. As I said, something about the name that made that man walk. Peter was in Christ, in the name, looking at Jesus, obsessed with Jesus, revolving his whole life around Jesus. And he was able to say, look at us. Look at us in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk. He was able to give something that he received. The Spirit, not long before that, had poured down in the most mighty way. And he was primed. He was ready. He was ready. When he says, look at us, who's he talking about? He's talking about, look at me. Look at John. Look at Jesus. What's in Jesus? Heaven. Everything is in Jesus. So if you look at Jesus and someone looks at you and you say to them, look at us. It's not just Peter and John. It's Jesus in heaven and the forces of heaven. That's what raises people from wheelchairs. It's not our doing, it's not our kindness, it's not our grace, as good as that is, it's the power of God, of heaven. And what we're witnessing here is the unity of heaven and earth. In Ephesians it talks about uniting heaven and earth. We are people's only hope to see Jesus. But you've got to look at him. Otherwise you're just giving you. No offense. Me too. When you look at Jesus, can you have people look in your eyes and say, look at me. Look at us. Get up. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. See, we've been given an awesome privilege of partnering with God. See, we've used phrases in the past. God used me. God used us. I've used those phrases. In the context, I know what they mean. But God is not using us. He is partnering with us. And he wants to partner with you. He wants to partner with us. When people see us as a body, as a congregation, will they see Jesus? I want them to see Jesus. When we gather together on a Sunday, I love what Ray said, because I had it in my notes to mention that we are not a club. This isn't a club. I love clubs. They're great. In clubs, the bar's at the back. In this one, the bar's at the front. And the bar's always open. It's always open. You can, as a human being, precious and loved by God, take time to sit and drink from heaven's cup. Sit in your chair, like I said. Bible open. So that's what you can do when you leave. But what about now? Because there's general life ways of looking at Jesus, which are amazing, of course. But I believe God wants us to do things as we gather on a Sunday. This Sunday morning is the most well-attended ministry of Mount Chapel. It seems to be the most anointed, where everyone gathers and we break bread and we worship. And I believe God has got great plans for when we meet on a Sunday. We are not just meeting for a laugh. We're meeting to encounter Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the anointed Saviour. Why are we gathering? To look at Him. To look at Him. To be fascinated by Him. What's His purposes for that? Well, He wants us to look at Him because He wants us to know we have Him. And He wants us to go out there and give Him to others. He wants us to give Him to others because we are the access point of heaven to people. Look at us. You want to see heaven? We've been looking at Jesus. Have Jesus. It begins here. Communion with God. And He shows you that He's in you. He lives inside you. The Holy Spirit is in you. And you give it to others as He leads. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. 2 Corinthians says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God makes His appeal through us. Remember that word, through? God is making His appeal to this community through us and other believers. It's through us. God is, for some reason, I don't know why, He's chosen us as Christians to be God's representatives on the earth. And what they're demonstrating here is God doesn't want you to sit there. God wants you alive and jumping and leaping and praising. Isn't it amazing how the living God, the one who created everything, uses two blokes, fishermen, to raise someone from being lame? I don't believe it's just for the apostles to be doing that. The apostles are special and unique. They wrote scripture. When I write, it doesn't carry divine authority like they do. But Jesus said, go and make disciples. So we're supposed to be replicating what the apostles did, not in the same divine authority, but we're supposed to be representing apostolic ways of working. And one apostolic way of working is having our lives surrounded by Jesus, that the centre of our lives is Jesus, and we're here to represent His power to others. And His love and His grace. But you need to look at Jesus to do that. Otherwise, one, you'll forget. Or two, you'll just be doing things out of guilt and shame and trying to do things in your own strength. If you position yourself, I'm yours. Use me. Sometimes the Lord uses me to change nappies every day. Raising a family. That's what God is partnering with me, not using me, partnering to do. And that's God's will for that day. God's will in your workplace is for you to partner with him in the workplace. And as you look at him, you learn to hear from him and you learn to walk in his ways as you're out there representing Jesus. The key to releasing God's power in your life is to center your whole life around looking at Jesus. Looking at Jesus. So I ask myself a question. How many of us here are like the lame man? How many of us are like the lame man? We're sitting at the gate of God's presence. We're sitting here and we can't get up. We don't know how to get to the presence of God. And day after day, we've come to sit here and we've watched everybody else go in. But we're sat here asking for money and food and materials because we think that's what's going to help us. I really feel the Lord is saying this morning, rise up and walk in Jesus' name. If that resonates with you, because it resonated with me when I took hours to pray over this. And I asked, Lord, I don't just want to give information, I want to give revelation. And there's an amazing sermon on YouTube by a preacher called Judas Smith. And he talks about Barabbas. Google it, Judas Smith, Barabbas. And there's music behind it, it's very powerful. And he relates Barabbas to the guilty sinner and Jesus to the innocent one. Because Jesus was totally innocent, fully God, fully man, totally innocent. Barabbas was a murderer, guilty. What happens? The guilty goes free, the innocent one gets crucified. And that's what we were guilty, just like Barabbas. But because Jesus, the innocent one, took the hit, we can now go free. And in the same way, that lame man is one of us here. Someone, it's me. Maybe this is just for me. But I've been sat at the gate of the temple, watching everybody else go in. Everybody else's revelation. Everybody else's insight. What about us, God? What about you? What about me? You've made us valuable. You've made us in your image. Lord, I don't want to sit like the lame man. I want to rise up and walk. As a fruit of looking at Jesus, you are leaping and praising God. That's what happens when you look at Jesus. That's what happens when you look at Jesus. Peter takes him by the right hand and he lifts him up. His feet and his ankle bones receive strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them. See, what's amazing about this is not just that he can walk. Obviously, that's amazing. Not only can he can walk into the temple to the presence of God. Because that's where Jesus wants him. He stood and walked and entered the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. Do you know what I felt the Lord say to me? If you're sat at the gate like the lame man, you are beautiful. I find it unlikely that's why it's called the beautiful gate. But I'm taking that. He said, you and those people sat at the gate, unsure about how to go into the temple, unable to press in. You're still beautiful. You're still valued. This is not about suddenly getting value, like a lame man doesn't have any value. Let's get him out of the wheelchair so we can give him value. People in wheelchairs have just as much value as us. I don't have all the answers. I'm not praying for people to be healed so they can suddenly get value. I'm praying for people to be healed because I know Jesus is up to something. And like I said, I don't have all the answers when it comes to healing. One of the things we look at a passage like this and we say, when's it going to happen, Lord? Why can't I do it? Why weren't they healed? Why wasn't I healed? Why am I still waiting? Why are all these things happening? How much fruit comes from those questions? How much fruit comes from those questions? The bigger question is, who or what are you looking at in your life? Who has your undivided attention? Now, those are important questions, and we're allowed to ask them. But the bigger question is, who or what are you looking at? Because when you look at Jesus, he shows you things beyond your wildest imagination. He shows you that you have Him. And He shows you you have a purpose, and you have a value, and you are able to go into the presence of God. And that's when you go up the mountain and ask Him why, or why. Don't ask God why when you're not in His presence. It's painful, it's horrible. You need to get in His presence, rest there, and He begins to speak to you where you're at. Because God doesn't give you the answers you think you need. He gives you what He knows you need, and that's Himself. I had so many questions when I came back to Jesus. You know what answered all of them in one hit? The Holy Spirit. Meeting Him face to face, in His presence, knowing Him. That's what answered the questions. You see, people saw Peter and John and the apostles. They turned the world upside down. Because the way they're thinking and looking is upside down from the way the world looks. My peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you. I do not give as the world gives. This is the key to seeing people getting up out of wheelchairs. This is the key to healing the sick. This is the key to seeing the manifestation of God on this earth, pushing back the powers of sickness and darkness that have ruled this place for so long. The key is looking at Jesus. So we're going to look at Jesus right now. So I've said enough. I want you to just sit still and rest. And rest is not necessarily laying on a sofa. Rest is positioning yourself to look at Jesus and watch Him work. And the Holy Spirit's working right now. If you feel like you've been sat at the gate watching everybody else go in, I want your heart to say, thank you, Lord, you call me beautiful. Thank you, Lord, you call me beautiful. When I don't understand, you call me beautiful. Right here, where I am right now, Lord, I thank you that you call me beautiful. We've beaten ourselves up so much. And the whole time Jesus just says, look at me. Look what I've done. Look at my perfect sacrifice. Look at it. It was never your righteousness. It was never you. It was me, says Jesus. Look at me. Holy Spirit, come. More, Lord. Carry on, pray, that's it, go. Yes. Lord, I ask for more right now. No rush. So the Lord is saying, learn to look for me. Learn to look at Jesus. The resurrected Jesus. See, John was here too. Saint John who's laid on Jesus' bosom. And the same John in Revelation, when he looked in Jesus' eyes, Jesus is more than we know. If we just keep looking at him, just learn to look at Jesus, he'll take care of the rest. So Lord, I just pray that we be filled with wonder and joy by looking at you. Lord, you would show us that looking at you is not a chore. Looking at you is not a secondary pursuit. Looking at you is what we were made for. And Lord, we're going to be spending eternity looking at you. Lord, I welcome you to this place, Lord. Give us revelation when we're at home. I pray for breakthrough when we're at home. Lord, teach us by your Spirit the glory and the wonder of looking at you, both in our individual lives, in our families, however we're set up to live, and as a body, Lord. Manifest yourself through us. Manifest your gift through us. In Jesus' name. Amen.